It's me again. Welcome. Thank you, those worshiping online. We're so glad to have you with us. We're going to move into our teaching time now. And just for a little context, if you're new, or you haven't been here in a few weeks, we're in a series. It's an awesome series. Very simple, but very practical, applicable, actionable. And the series is called Love Your Neighbor. It's part of what God has called us all to do. Love your neighbor. And what we've done over this series so far is we're looking at five everyday ways to love your neighbor and change the world. And all five of these ways kind of make their way into this series around one word, and the word that we're looking at, like this is how to love your neighbor, and it's this word right here, bless. And it's based on this strategy that we see in scripture where God calls Abraham way back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 12, he says, Abraham, you're blessed to be a blessing. And so that's what we believe, that God has blessed us to be a blessing to other people. And why not start with our neighbors, the people that God has placed around us? So how do we love our neighbors? We bless them. And we're looking at this word bless as an acronym. So each week we're looking at one element of it. So the first week we looked at the B in bless, and that stands for begin with prayer. So we started to pray for our neighbors by name, just 5 minutes a day. And so many of you are doing that, and I hope you continue to do that. That's been a lot of fun. After that, we went to last week, which was the L, and the L stood for listen, to be good listeners with our neighbor as we engage them in relationship. We're praying for them, and then we're listening to them. And so this is the third week in the series, and we come to the E, and the word E in bless stands for eat. Eat. And one of the cool things about this part of the strategy is like everybody eats. We have 21 meals a day, give or take. Or sorry, a week, not a day. Woo! Today, it might feel like 21 a day. 21 meals a week. 3 meals a day, many of us. So many opportunities to eat with people in scripture. And a couple series ago, we did a message on this. There's a phrase that says, the Son of Man, or Jesus, came to, and it's like, if you have to question, like, what did Jesus come to do? The Son of Man, Jesus came to what? Like, how, what would you think? Well, save people from their sins, to die on the cross. There's lots of ways we'd fill in that. In the New Testament, in the Bible, there are 3 ways that that sentence is filled in. And the first one that's probably talked about the most is the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's in Mark chapter 10. And another one, probably just as well known, as from Luke 19, where it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And those both answer that question, like, what did the Son of Man come to do? They answer the why of why he came. But there's one more reference in the New Testament. It's in Luke chapter 7 that shows the how Jesus came. Like, what he came to do. How he did his ministry of seeking and saving the lost people. And here's how that sentence is completed. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus ate lots of meals with people. It was the primary way that he would carry out this part of his life and his ministry and do what God called him to do. And so as we get to the eat in our bless practices and how to love our neighbor, we have the privilege to hear from a guest speaker. And there is, I'm confident saying this, there's nobody on earth, there's nobody in this country that has more credibility to teach us on this than our guest speaker. Her name is Sarah Harmeyer. She hails from Dallas. She's a friend of our church. She spoke here 5 years ago. People loved her. We brought her back. She did a women's event on Friday. And I would just want to tell you, here's all you need to know about her credibility. She has leveraged her table at her house, and you're going to hear all about this, to host, you ready for this? 4,500 people over the years, just for dinner, just ways to bless, not trying to impress them, just bless them with a meal and build relationship with them. So ladies and gentlemen, on this Mother's Day, how about a warm CPC welcome for Sarah Harmeyer?
Hey there, CPC. It is good to be back. It is quite warmer in Dallas than it is here. I got to figure out how to get out here. I moved to Dallas about 12 years ago, and I was new to the neighborhood. I was new to the city. And the place that I picked to live was in a duplex with the rental downstairs open to me, with the landlord living upstairs. Now, Katie, the landlord, was 100 years old when I moved in. And you can tell I might have picked to live there just because of Katie. I had sent her a letter after meeting her when I was in town, reminding her I'm going to be moving in on March 10th. I'm excited to live downstairs. You can see maybe where I'm going with this. Just reminding her that I'm moving in. March 10th came around, and we loaded up things from Houston, and I moved my things from Dallas. All day, I moved my couch and my boxes and things like that, and I brought a rose bowl with flowers for Katie with a note that said, I'm so excited to live downstairs. Thrilled to be here, Sarah. Well, about 9 o'clock at night, when I got out of the shower, I heard voices in my driveway. Then I heard the police radio. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in a new city, what's happening? And then I hear the knock at the door. I go with my hair in a towel, just the clothes I threw on. And as I open the door, Dallas Police Department, with guns drawn, says, what are you doing here? Raise your hands. And so I have both of my arms in the air. At this very same moment, my next door neighbor, who I haven't met yet, is on her porch, and she says, what's going on? And I literally do the... I smiled because I knew exactly what had happened, and Katie had forgotten that that was me and that sound. And I went upstairs, and I, you know, showed her my face, and she realized. One of my favorite things to do with Katie was to go get burgers and share a burger with her up on her upstairs balcony. There was something about having something that for 100 years she had loved hamburgers, and she had this certain place that she wanted me to grab hamburgers from, and was a blast. Katie lived about 13 months after I moved in. There was a special time and a special place that I got to call home there. I had met with a pastor friend of mine, and Eric said, Sarah, I think that you are a people gatherer. I want you to think about how you might gather people in and outside the church. When I thought back to the very best moments of my life, I thought back to this year in grad school, and I had a cafe out of my house, super illegally. I played restaurant, and I was open 3 days a week, and people could call and leave a voicemail on the message machine and say, I'm bringing 4 people on Wednesday, and I had a set menu. Well, when I thought back to the very best moments of my life, I kept coming back to that year. There was something about playing restaurant or putting a plate of food in front of someone that felt like I was giving God glory. So as I thought about being a people gatherer, being new to a city, I thought, maybe I'll gather people at a table. Now, my house is kind of small in Dallas. I have a small yard, too, but I thought, maybe I could ask my dad to build me a table big enough to seat 20 people. And this is what he came up with. This is a table that seats 20 people. We hung chandeliers overhead, and this became my home base for gathering. Now, I don't know in your home if you've got that place that you love to gather. Maybe it's the big table for holidays when the family's over. Maybe it's the kitchen table that has the fork marks and the crayon marks. Or maybe you don't even have room for either a table like that, and you've got a coffee table, and you eat and watch TV on a couch. That's me sometimes. Whatever your place is, I think it can hold a lot for us. I'll tell you, I set a goal to serve 500 people that first year after Dad built my table. I'm a goal-oriented person, so it helped me work towards something. Well, we had parties for different reasons. My very first party, I wanted to get to know my neighbors, and I only knew 2 of my neighbors when I started, just my exact next-door neighbors. And I got on Nextdoor, the social app for neighborhoods, and I said, we're having my neighborhood is called So Hip, and I called it the So Hip Soiree. Come out and bring a dish, bring a beverage to share, And if you've never stepped outside of your home to meet your neighbors, would you consider coming this night? And it was that honest. I put the invitations in 300 of the closest mailboxes to me, not knowing like how far I should know. That's about a 9-block radius for me. It's kind of like my neighborhood. Y'all, 91 people showed up that night. My table for 20 suddenly became too small, but I was just laughing inside. I just couldn't believe that people showed up just with that invite. I've learned that people just want to be invited. We need a reason to come out. We've lived in our neighborhoods for decades, and we don't know anyone past 2 houses from us. It's a common thing. So we kept gathering and gathering and gathering that year. And on Thanksgiving Day, the 500th guest walked down the driveway. On the day that everyone was gathering around their tables, Michelle, a single mom, and her 3 kids came down the driveway. Now, she was met with applause and a crown and a sash, which is not normal greeting for Thanksgiving. She wore this necklace throughout dinner that day. I remember she brought her aunt's squash casserole, and she was so proud to bring a dish she had made. You know, a number is just a number, and Tyler shared 4,500. It's one person at a time that has filled my heart. We kept going after that day and that year because I knew God was up to something. I spent a lot of money that first year, so I put myself on a budget. It was needed, believe me. I decided I would try to gather 500 again on a budget of just $75 a month. Now, I was spending 2-3 times that much per dinner in the past, and I did it. I learned this word, yes. If someone says, can I bring something? You say, yes. How about black beans? It'll make sense when you get here. How about bring 3 things of tortillas? Okay, bring the Doritos that you always bring. Yeah, whatever it is. We gathered for all sorts of reasons. Around Christmas that first year, my neighbor Lee sent me an email, and he said, Sarah, I know my son and I's plans fell through for Christmas, and I was wondering if you guys were getting together for Christmas, because I know your table is a place where people that don't have a place can come. Are you having an orphan Christmas? And I said, well, now I am when you put it that way, Lee. I said, Lee, would it be okay if we invited the rest of the neighborhood? Maybe someone else needs a place on Christmas, and we're all kind of a little bit of an orphan anyways. We had 9 gentlemen from the neighborhood show up that day with my family. I didn't know any of them except Lee and his son. If you're showing up at a stranger's home, a neighbor, on Christmas, you needed a place. Let me tell you what happened. I had my indoor table set real pretty with my mom's Christmas china. But when Lee walked in with the smoked turkey, he said, Sarah, we're not going to eat outside? Now, it was December, so it was a little chilly. And I said, okay, we'll eat outside. So we pulled everything out. We were sitting there just having a conversation over lunch. And this guy, Russ, who I'd never met before, his eyes started welling up with tears. And I have to tell you, I've got these 5-foot-tall letters along my fence that spell love, L-O-V-E, as a reminder to me of what I want to do with my neighbors. Well, Russ started tearing up with tears, and I looked at him, and he goes, that's what it feels like here. It feels like love. Now, I want to remind you, CPC, as Christians, we carry the light of Christ. I can tell you for sure we were not talking anything godly or spiritual in that moment. I actually kind of remember what the conversation was about. It wasn't that. But I had invited him. I had opened my table. I had opened a relationship with someone new I'd never known. We're going to look at this first verse together, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I love those words, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Compassion, that's like empathizing with someone when they're suffering. There's things that happen around us all the time, and we might feel compelled to help. Kindness, it's being friendly, you know, hey, neighbor. It's being generous with what you have. Maybe consider it, right? Humility, this is a really important one. Being humble. And being okay with not knowing everything. Being modest or having just a low view of yourself. I don't know why sometimes as Christians we think we're better or higher than others. And I certainly don't want us to make people projects. We're just going to love them because we're humble. And that's what God has asked us to do. Gentleness. We're tender and mild-mannered. We kind of read the room, right? Patience. We're just able to accept what's happening. Moms, I know you know a little bit about that. And the best part of all, put on love. That's like the umbrella over everything. You know, when I think about hospitality, it feels like a big word to me. But if we're just saying, I just get to love the people that get around my table, that's hospitality, that's love. My friend Eric called me about a year and a half in, and he said, Sarah, I see God getting a lot of glory around your table. I wonder if he has something outside your yard. And I honestly didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't really. He just kind of tossed it out there. And I started thinking, and I was in a conference one day, and I was daydreaming, maybe like some of you are right now. It's cool. Good things happen. I started daydreaming and I thought, there's other people gatherers in the world. There's other people as Christians that God has invited us to love our neighbors. I wonder if they need like a home base like I did. I wonder if they need a table like I did. I wonder if I could cheer them on. I stepped out and I called my dad who had made my table and said, Dad, would you be up for building tables for other people? Now my dad had been widowed for quite a while already. He had retired early, and sometimes we lose just a little bit of purpose along the way. Dad said, sure, I think I could do that. We had no clue what we were getting into, but I said, I know what we'll do. We'll call you the chairman of the boards, Dad, and we laughed way too long about that. Dad started building tables, and the word just crept out. Our very first table that we built and delivered was to a college senior down in Waco, Texas. Her house, she referred to it as the safe house. And she would have pizza and pals night. She'd just invite all her college friends over, she'd order pizza, and they would sit at that table and linger. What an extraordinary idea for college students. But how ordinary to invite your pals and have pizza. I can think of another pizza moment that I've learned. Tyler was talking to me between services about the area that I live in, Sohip, and for Mother's Day, this was years ago, I had invited my friends and their moms to join me for dinner. I wanted to honor that relationship, and they were all responded in coming, and I was nervous before they got there because some of my friends' moms have very nice homes, and we drink out of mason jars at my house, and I've got a chain link fence and cracked concrete, and it just wasn't what they're used to. My friend looked at me over breakfast that day, or that week, and I said, I'm having these ladies over, what should I serve? She goes, I dare you to serve pizza. And I was like, I cannot serve pizza to socialites, like, She goes, I dare you. So I ordered pizza, and I pulled out the nice wooden pizza paddles, pretended I had made them. And as we gathered around the circle that night, I said, remember when we were girls and we'd gather around the pizza box at slumber parties and we'd tell stories and we'd laugh? Can we do that again? And all the ladies were in. Every one of them ate pizza. At one point, one of the ladies said, I feel like I'm in Napa Valley. And I said, maybe Napa Alley, because my alleyway is right there. Y'all, it doesn't take much. The entry point for gathering is low. But why do we make it so hard? Why do we try to impress? You know, there was a lot of commitments and traditions started when we started delivering these tables everywhere. I'm going to introduce you to the Simmons family. The Simmons family is in Carmel, Indiana, and they host a traditional turkey trot run in their city, and then they all come back with their neighbors and some of their family, all ages, and they have pumpkin soup at their table on Thanksgiving Day. It's a way to connect, and it's their tradition. Every year, I get a picture texted to me, and sometimes a video. There's Adeline over in Atlanta. She's 18. She has cereal night with her friends. Everyone brings a box of sugary cereal that their mom won't let them have at home. Clarkston, Michigan, Michelle got a table. She was a single mom. She started dating, and up from the neighbor's table bench, her fiance proposed to her. They got married in a park in their town later, a few months later, and their wedding cake sat on this neighbor's table we'd built for them. The table became this special place for people. I hosted a wedding rehearsal dinner in my backyard for a couple that he was from Ireland. And so talk about like dreamy toast that night of hearing all these Irish accents. But I decided to replace the flag on my carport, replace the Texas flag with the flag of Ireland, you know, the green, white, and orange. But come to find out that night, he's from Northern Ireland, which is very different. It's the thought that counts, yeah? I delivered a table to Dane in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He just turned 30 and he asked his buddies to put together some money in a pot so he could buy a table for he and his wife. When I was assembling the table there in his backyard, I said, Dane, what do you like to do for fun? He said, I like to pray. I was so surprised by that answer. I was thinking jog or, you know, play something. He goes, no, I like to pray. I've been praying for my neighbors as I walk through my neighborhood, and I finally have a place where I can invite them to. You know, our neighbors aren't always easy. Our neighbors are not all like us, are they? Sometimes they're kind of tricky. Maybe someone has done something to you. And I'm reminded of Judas. And Jesus knew exactly what Judas was going to do. But guess what? Judas ate too. Remember, Judas was one of the 12 disciples, and he was the one that took the guys into the Garden of Gethsemane that night, kissed him on the cheek to signify, this is the rabbi. Well, this is so cool. This tattoo that I saw that says Judas ate too. This is what the person that has this tattoo said. Yet in that room, hours before the death of Jesus, Judas ate too. Jesus fed Judas too. Jesus prayed for Judas too. Jesus washed Judas's feet too. I struggle to fathom that kind of love, a love that would feed the mouth that deceived you, a love that would wash the treasonous feet of the traitor, a love that could forgive even the vilest of betrayals. I honestly struggle to comprehend it. And then suddenly I realize that I'm Judas. And in that moment, I'm so thankful and altogether overwhelmed that Judas ate too. Think about how many times we ourselves, without even realizing it, betray Jesus. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we can extend an invitation to that neighbor. I have a neighbor in my neighborhood, and I won't name names because this is being recorded. He's kind of tricky. Not many people like him. Sometimes it's for good reason. He's just a tricky guy. I've invited him every neighborhood party we've had, I've invited him. And he's one of those that like gets in your space and talks to you really close. And he's invited. Not everyone knows what to do with him. But on one day, I had a knock at the door. And my neighbor was standing there with a card and a little gift bag. His wife had written me a note and had made me a pair of earrings. And the note said something about, "Thank you for loving my husband and including him. It makes all the difference to us in this neighborhood." We don't realize what an invite is going to do for others. Let me tell you about Mary Liz. We've got a picture of her. She's in Hunt, Texas, and her family runs a girls' camp down there. Mary Liz lost her brother-in-law tragically and said, "I need a table to pull my family and the people that are here in Hunt around us to support us during this time." I was here this night when she gathered her friends, and not even 2 years later, Mary Liz and her husband lost their infant son. Sometimes when we feel like we're the givers, we also have to be the receivers of community. And I guarantee you, your neighbors have something to give you. Now, as Christians, we have the best gift of all to share, don't we? It takes an invite. I have another lady in Nashville, Tennessee, that got a table 1 year after her husband died because she said, "I want to give back to all the people that help support me." Last February in Texas, I don't know if you guys saw our power grid. We've got our own power grid, and it didn't work because it was so cold in Texas for days on end. A lot of us, we didn't have heat, so our houses that are not built for cold, we started having pipes break. I had 5 breaks in my pipes in my attic, and I was not home. I was out of town. And for hours and hours, water ran all throughout my house, every room in my house. I asked my neighbor to go check on it because I knew that's what we were all doing because people were finding things, and there was water everywhere. My neighbor is a wedding planner, and she said, "I'd love to organize some of us to help dry some of the things that have gotten wet. Is that okay to do?" And I said, "Of course." Well, neighbors showed up that I'd never met. One time, my friend texted me. She goes, "Sarah, there's 8 women in your kitchen, and I'm the only one that knows you here." I was floored. Loving our neighbors, sometimes we get to be on that receiving end. And I promise you, it is like a boomerang of love that'll come back to you. We're going to look at this next verse, Romans 12, 11 to 13. "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." We're practicing. As we go out here into our neighborhoods and into our homes, we're going to start practicing. We're going to see how we can be, how we're blessed to be a blessing. How can I take what I've got and share with those around me? Let me tell you real briefly how I gather when I have people over. So everyone will walk down the driveway. I'll get a drink in their hands. I'll introduce them to someone. I'll circle everyone up before we sit down at the table, and I'll do 2 things. I'll introduce them by name, and I'll tell them something I love about them. And I promise we are all a junior high kid inside. When someone says your name, you kind of stand up a little taller, especially if you're new and you didn't think I was paying attention to your name. And then I'll say something that I love about them. Even if I just met them, I'll say, "This is Aaron. I can tell he's an amazing dad, the way he lit up talking about his boys' soccer games this morning. And he's an attorney too, so if you have any questions, he'll be sitting over here. I'll do something real brief, but it gives us a chance to know who we're creating this experience with. And that's what I'll do. I'll then say, this is what I hope we'll experience together. I hope that we would do more listening than talking. I hope that we would serve each other. We're going to eat family style here tonight. Awkwardly pass the tongs and the platter. We're going to do this together. If you feel like filling water glasses or clearing plates or helping bring dessert out or load the dishwasher, let's all do it together. I know I'm hosting, but we can create this experience together. And then I always say, can I pray for us? And I ask it as a question, and I genuinely look around to see if it's okay if I pray. I've never had anyone shake their head no. And then I'll offer up our prayer for our time and gratitude, and then I'll encourage everyone to grab a drink and have a seat. And I'll say one last thing. I'll say, at some point in the evening, I'd like us to have one conversation together. You can imagine a table my size. There's lots of individual conversations going on. But then I'll just pose a question to us. I think communities change when we gather. Now, your table might not look like this, with the rays of sunshine shining down on it, with the perfectly curated flowers. You might be rocking the paper plate and the plastic solo cup. And you know what? It's fine. I've done that too. I think God delights in us. I think he leans over the banister of heaven and goes, look at her gathering with her neighbors. I think he belly laughs at it. After all, he was the one that invited us to love our neighbors 2,000 years ago. The last verse as we charge out of here, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you, the one who invites you to love your neighbor, he's going to be right there with you, and he's going to do it. He's going to take care of those things. Will it be clunky? Maybe. But he's going to honor your obedience. We're going to wrap up with a toast here this morning. This might be the first toast that's been ever given in church. But I want you to have your pretend glass in your hand. Maybe it's your red wine glass, your flute, your teacup. Put your pinky out. Maybe it's your highball or your stemless glass. Everyone got their glass? Everybody put your glass up. Here's to us, CPC, and to God who helps us. May we be people of welcome, defined by Christ-like love and hospitality. May we work to create space in our hearts and tables to love those around us. May we choose compassion over hate, generosity over self, courage over fear. Here's to a love mission. Let's eat. Oh, I want to hear clinking, clinking.
All right. All right, it's time to head outside. You guys are going to get gifts. You guys are going to be loved on. Let's stand and pray, and we'll be on our way. Everybody stand together. Hey, before you go, on behalf of our church, can we just say thank you to Sarah? Thank you so much for bringing that message. I want to give you a chance to get out. We're going to give Sarah a chance to get out and get into the lobby with her friend Karen here, who's a CPCer. And just as a reminder, you might be going, gosh, I would love that. I didn't take notes because I came here to get chocolates and flowers, and that's fine too. Sarah actually brought three of her favorite books on how to gather your friends and how to love your neighbors. And so if you want to pick one of those up on your way out, you can do that. Let me just pray for us as we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to pause here this morning. To take a moment, to make a moment to worship you, Jesus, to make much of your name, to hear about how we might love and bless our neighbors, to be inspired and challenged to eat with them, to leverage that power of invitation, to choose courage to invite over fear of what might happen or feeling inadequate in a conversation or not feeling like we have a nice enough backyard or a pretty enough table or enough money or what have you, Lord. Help us to realize that it's something you call us to do to serve others. It's also okay and good to be served, to say yes when someone says, what can I bring? Or can I bring anything, or those types of things, Lord. Just help us to apply this incredible message that we heard this morning, that we, if we look at scripture, we see Jesus, this is how you did it. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you did it all throughout the Gospels in your ministry. Finally, Father, I pray your blessing over the moms in our midst. May they stand a little taller here this morning. May they know that they are seen, that they are loved, that we are for them, and more importantly, God, that you are for them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.